Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 reveal has happened. We will give you a quick recap with our own thoughts, but there's other gaming news to talk about today in the rundown here on Reforge Radio. God of War Ragnarok release date, is it in jeopardy? A God of War Ragnarok delay rumor has surfaced, but it's being addressed as well as maybe even debunked by the people who at first revealed a placeholder date. And Halo Infinite campaign co-op news has arrived. We'll give you the details on that, as well as two titles have gameplay reveals with similar release dates in this year, Evil West and Deliver Us Mars, all today here on The Rundown. Make sure you're subscribed here to Reforge Radio. We always come over from Reforge Gaming, where we covered the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 reveal, as well as new Sonic Frontiers gameplay and the news that Game Pass is going to be getting game demos. So check out those VODs over there on Reforge Gaming, where we start every day. So first and foremost, if you didn't see it, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 reveal was a story campaign reveal. The gameplay was not present. There was in-engine footage. The entire trailer is in-engine. The things to take notice of, I think personally, number one, right off the bat, is graphical fidelity. We do know that they decided to completely separate this game from Warzone and all the problems with the engine in the current build and build something completely brand new. So I think graphical fidelity, along with the final frame where you see all of the studios listed at the bottom, is, I think, a very good sign for the brand new iteration and revisiting of Modern Warfare 2. The other thing to pay close attention to, I think, is the night vision. I interviewed their lead marketing guy during the Call of Duty Modern Warfare press during E3 of 2019. I got to sit down and interview him main stage, and his big position was they really wanted the night vision to be real night vision. They didn't want to just put like the green filter onto gameplay, and I think you're seeing that fully realized in Modern Warfare 2. It looked phenomenal. That stood out to me significantly. Character design was another thing I picked up on. Their outfits, the textures on their clothes, the hair on their faces. They're doing, I think, an exceptional job with the character design. Now, right now, the dialogue surrounding the gameplay, the Call of Duty pros did get a chance to go to the studio and play the game, and they are saying that they think this is the next great era for Call of Duty. Some are skeptical about that feedback, given the Call of Duty Vanguard beta initially received praise from some pros, but once it was out in the wild and some of the decisions were made about how the game was handled, the criticism immediately started mounting. So right now we are sort of anticipating, at least I'm anticipating, this being a significant addition to the Call of Duty franchise. I don't think they're going to treat Modern Warfare 2 haphazardly. In the same way, I'm not worried about the port of Spider-Man to PC, because Spider-Man is so important to the Sony platform and the Sony IP encyclopedia, all of the various games that they own. I don't think Activision or anybody overseeing Call of Duty would allow Modern Warfare 2 of any of the titles to be mistreated in any way. I do think this game will be significantly better than everything that we've gotten up to this point. So my initial response to the trailer was excitement. Hopefully what this means is once Summer Game Fest gets up and running and ramped up, we can start to get some actual gameplay footage, and that I think is very, very exciting to be able to see the actual, you know, the actual game, you know, and to actually see gameplay in action. Because anytime they do these trailers, anytime they do these things, it is in engine. And when they do things in engine, I think that's encouraging. It shows like, okay, graphical fidelity of the game, it's going to look really, really good. It's going to be really, really strong. However, many people are concerned that it is going to fall into some of the other, ruts that Call of Duty has fallen into. There is also concerns, you know, Warzone 2 is going to be a whole reset. That has been confirmed by Charlie Intel with respect to the fact that they will be resetting your inventory and all of your skins. So the lighting was nice, still hoping for a solid campaign, cautiously optimistic. Yeah, that's my thoughts and my recap of the Modern Warfare 2 reveal. I don't have much else to say. I'm obviously interested in what chat has to say. What did you guys think of it? The general theme that seemed to emerge from our coverage on Reforged Gaming is people were hoping for a little bit more. They did sort of get everybody's attention. They got everybody ramped up and excited. And it was basically just sort of a campaign trailer, which I'm okay with, okay? But Summer Games Fest and all the stuff that's about to happen, I actually think that trailer did its job. It gets everybody talking. They get out in front of every other announcement coming. They get their hashtag trending. They get their video to get tons of views. At the current juncture, the video, when we were watching it, had like 119,000 views. It already has 1.3 million views on YouTube. So, highly anticipated title. They have 7 million subscribers on that channel, and they're already pulling more than a seventh of their sub base. That's insane viewership for the trailer. We only saw a story trailer. It's always the first trailer we see for every Call of Duty. I think most games do a story trailer first. I don't think that that's uncommon or strange or abnormal. I kind of anticipated seeing something like this. I'm just confused as to how Ghost is alive, but then again, I haven't played any of the other Call of Duty games. I like that they're dialing in nostalgia. I'm always a little hesitant when you dial in nostalgia as one of your primary drivers for a game and for the appeal and the enjoyment. I'm always a little bit concerned that that's kind of where you're planting your flag. My hope would be that the gameplay, you know, offers a lot of variety. From what I saw in the trailer, it did like look like we would be getting into like urban warfare, like in cities and in towns, swimming in water. There was sort of a look like maybe like a French villa in the background with some lighting. There was also some very clear open areas, you know, jungly areas, and then the night vision section I thought looked exceptionally good. And then when you get close-ups on the characters' faces, you can see that they've significantly ramped up the graphical fidelity and the representation of the characters in the game. So what's good, Melrose? Mike, good to see you. This is a reboot? Is that how they're treating this? Is that what they're calling this? I didn't realize that they were calling this a reboot. Modern Warfare 2019 was reimagining of the original game. So the 2019 game is the start of a new canon, which is why Ghost is alive. I forgot about that because I didn't play those games. When all those games were coming out, I was, you know, dealing with a lot of stuff and switching channels and switching main games and switching coverage style. So could we get 17 more likes on the video? Let's get a quick 100 likes over here on Reforge Radio. We like to end our day with a strong push and gaming news for you. Yeah, make sure you're on live chat as well. So that does make sense. They're dialing in the nostalgia, but they've essentially rebooted the timeline in 2019 with Modern Warfare. So they've been able to bring all these guys back and create a new timeline for us. This is the new Modern Warfare 2. It's a sequel to the Modern Warfare 2019 game. Yo, what's good, Feed? Good to see you in the chat. Who got them the weapon, Russia, U.S., that's the big question in the trailer. Yeah, they don't really address that in the trailer. The trailer had minimal, you know, it had minimal dialogue. It had a lot of music. We're more than likely going to get hit with a copyright claim on that broadcast. I've been checking my email to see, because we'll want to immediately go and mute that so that it can actually do well as a past broadcast, unless they somehow whitelisted that song. It would be pretty amazing if they started doing that for promotional content. If they started saying, hey, if you're going to use that song, then you got to get it whitelisted on YouTube, because you're going to have all these people covering the trailer, reacting to the trailer, streaming the trailer, and you don't want to have people getting bopped just for literally watching your trailer. So currently we're sailing very well over there without a copyright claim yet. So fingers crossed that they got that whitelisted as a song, so we don't have to go through and mute our past broadcast, because that always hurts the video. Is Tim the Tap Man a part of the campaign? Yeah. I don't know. He was in the trailer, though. All I care about with Modern Warfare is the campaign, says Texas. This looks good. If people actually look at 2019 versus 2019 Modern Warfare, you can see the upgrade in visual and the story felt more dull. Yeah, I actually, I'm kind of the same way. I remember back in the day when I played Call of Duty, it was actually strange that, at least my friends thought it was strange, I would always want to play the campaign first. Right, I would always want to play the campaign first. I would do that, and my friends would be waiting for me to join them in multiplayer. They're like, "Come on, man!" And me and my buddy, we were always the ones as the last kind of last man standing. You know, we held out and wanted to play that campaign before jumping into multiplayer. And I know that was uncommon for a lot of COD players back then. You know, they didn't see the point. You know. I highly doubt that song's whitelisted. It's from a brand new album, so there could have been some kind of deal. Yeah, or maybe because the song is so new. Maybe because the song is so new, it's not in the database yet or something. I don't know. It might take a while for the copyright claim database to update. Eh, it's hard to know. Full Ono, not dull. Oh, you meant to say full, not dull. They are just in the promo stuff. Trey Young, NBA player, is in it too. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that they're going to put it in. What song? There was a song that played during the trailer, and I thought for sure we were going to get bopped. Any person who doesn't play the campaign first needs to take off their headband and wristbands. You will have plenty of time to soak in your gaming chair. A 1997 song wasn't new. Yeah, didn't they remix? It was a remix of a Metallica song, wasn't it? There was like a rap song at the beginning, at least it sounded like, and then it felt like they did a remix of a Metallica song. I don't know. Are you ready to 1v1 requests on Rust? I mean, my friends and I loved Rust, but we loved Rust for the most toxic reasons that you could love Rust, okay? All right, listen. We were so toxic, all right? We were the absolute worst. We loved Rust because we would just spawn trap people. That's why we loved Rust. We didn't love Rust because it led to great gameplay. We loved Rust because we would spawn trap people. It was absolutely absurd. It was the height of gamer toxicity. Like, you couldn't spawn. Dudes would be cussing us in the lobby, and it was like we kind of knew that we deserved it. It was like we literally wouldn't let them spawn, just launching noob tubes across the map. That's all we did. I mean, we just launched noob tubes across the map, and all you would do is get hit markers. They could not respawn. It was ridiculous. I woke up this morning and YouTube graced me with the Lono rebrand. Good to find you in the algorithms again. Oh, well, glad to have you find me. This isn't even the main channel. Reforge Gaming is the main channel. We come here in the afternoons to kind of end things. Dr. Disrespect, not invited to the MW2 preview because of Midnight Society. That's not surprising. This man complains about degenerate gameplay and admits he nude tubes on Rust. Listen to me, okay? I have changed my ways, all right? I have changed my ways. We were the most degenerate players that were alive, you know what I mean? What I'm hearing is that you deserved every bad thing that's ever happened to you, maybe even more. Oh, come on. Listen, if you didn't noob tube spawn trap on Rust, I'm sorry that you sucked. You know what I'm saying? That's the facts, Jack. That's the facts. If you didn't noob tube spawn trap on Rust in Modern Warfare 2, then I'm sorry that you were bad at the game. That's not my fault, okay? That is not my fault. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you smack that like button. We come here every day to end our day, and we do the rundown. I got a lot of gaming news for you in this show. We're kicking off with the Modern Warfare 2 reveal recap. My main channel that we come from in the mornings is called Reforge Gaming. Make sure you check that out if you like live streams like this. So you're the reason we couldn't play Rust. Yeah, I was the kid newtubing the bots. Yeah, okay. See, that's my people. Nitro Oblivion's my people, you know? That's my people. We were so toxic, you know? Listen. You know what the truth of the matter is? Call of Duty was toxic. You had to become toxic in order to really enjoy the game. the lobbies were toxic. The spawn trapping was toxic. The care package glitching was toxic. Akimbo 1887's was toxic. Noob tubing one man army on headquarters was toxic. We didn't do that. We hated that. It was toxic. The javelin glitch was toxic. If you didn't do these things, then you weren't playing Call of Duty. You were just dying in the game, okay? You weren't playing, you were cannon fodder. Okay, there's a difference between the people that played Modern Warfare 2 and just accepted it was a toxic mess, okay? It was a toxic mess. You either did that or you died the whole time. You probably used martyrdom. I can't remember if I used martyrdom or not, because I remember you had to use stopping power because everybody used juggernaut and final stand. I think because so many people used juggernaut and final stand, I felt justified in doing martyrdom. Martyrdom was also a great way for crowd control on a door if you were playing headquarters, because it made it to where they couldn't really breach the door as quickly, or if they did, they were punished. So martyrdom was actually really, really good for map control, crowd control during headquarters. I did not use final stand. No, I hated Final Stand. We didn't use Juggernaut and we didn't use Final Stand. We used Stopping Power and then maybe the Reload one, and then we used the Bouncing Betties and Martyrdom. Yeah, Bouncing Betties were so amazing. Those were the best kill cams. It looked like a little candle on the ground, just like, here they come, whoop, and it would launch up in the air. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Those were the best of times. You know, those are the best of times. Getting the nuke was an awesome experience. Yeah, I never got a legitimate nuke. I never did. I think one of my friends and I went in and did the TAC insertion thing, and I felt so dirty. We never did it again. He just TAC inserted in this glitch spot where nobody could get to us, and I did it, and then I felt so dirty. I was like, dude, no, I'm never doing that again. There were boosting lobbies where you could like go into the third person lobbies and like trade headshots to try to work on camos and guns, and oh my gosh. It made me feel so dirty. I could never do it. I just couldn't. I was like, I would do it once and be like, this is stupid. So I gravitated towards headquarters with my buds. And then when Modern Warfare 3 came out, we gravitated towards Team Defender because we had just such a good strategy. We typically did that. Toxic lobbies in MW2 is where it's at. So you never got a nuke, but you noob-tubed. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Of course. Of course. Noob-tubing was what you had to do. We played headquarters. You had to fight fire with fire. We literally had a strategy for headquarters called prevent. We called it prevent. We'd be like, we need prevent on this spot because the enemy wouldn't even try to cap it. Most people just farmed headquarters for kills. They would just sit back and launch noob tubes into the room. So we would go on prevent. We had guys that would literally fan out from the headquarters and try to kill the guys noob tubing into the headquarters. Without prevent, there was literally some that you couldn't capture because there was too many lines of sight on it. So we would either do prevent or we would call for a gorilla cap. A gorilla cap was literally all six people jumping on to fill it as fast as possible. And then we knew we were going to die. You would just get it over with. You'd cap the headquarters. You'd all die. They would take it and then it would move to a better location. So either we would do prevent or we would do gorilla caps. That's why in Black Ops 1, we love the flak jacket, because the flak jacket would trick people. They would launch a noob tube or a grenade in the room. They'd get a hit marker and they would think that they're good to go. They'd come flying in the room and you'd still be alive. It was amazing. That the flak jacket is one of my favorite things. Flak jacket was better than the trophy system, because the trophy system would get destroyed and then they would get you anyway. So, yeah, man, got to fight fire with fire, dude. You got to fight the toxicity with toxicity. You got to become toxic if you're going to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It's just par for the course. You know, it's part of the game, man. It's part of the game. Okay, it's part of the game. Getting nukes in Vanguard happens a little too often. It's not as rare as other games. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Flak jacket is why I played hardcore like a real man. Dude, hardcore, did you use the FAMAS butters? If you use the FAMAS hardcore Black Ops 1, that was it. That was the maniac build. The FAMAS, you would literally like just spray the room. You go, bleh. And it would just like, you'd spray across somebody's body and then they would just die. Chad, is the stream quality acting up for you today? We haven't had any complaints about stream quality today. Could be your connection. If you go in, if you're mobile, sometimes you have to go into advanced and switch it to the resolution that you would like it to stay on. Because if you don't, if it's on auto, it's going to go up and down according to your internet speed. So if your internet speed's fluctuating, that might be the cause of it. You know, reset a router, reset the app, or set it to the resolution that you would like it to stay on. The ACR for MW in FAMAS was deadly in Black Ops. Yeah, the FAMAS was so good in hardcore Black Ops 1. The FAMAS was just, it was tripfire, right? It was burst fire, and you would just spray. You'd go, bleh, and it would just do the three bullets, like, across the room. And it would grab somebody's, like, kneecap and kill them. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I'm a personal fan of the ACR. I just remember in one of them, it became clear that the best thing to do was to use SMGs, because anytime you needed to draw down on somebody around a corner, the SMG was going to win off rip. ARs were too slow. So I went to the PP90 and never looked back, like the pop cam one. And then there was the pre-order gun that could switch from an SMG firing range to an AR firing range. That was like the first pay-to-win I'd ever felt. It was like, I paid money, I got this gun, it's significantly better than every other gun. I think it was called the Shredder or the Ripper. It might have been the Ripper. It was so frickin' busted. It was an amazing subby. And if you ADS'd and pressed in the stick or something, it would zoom in further and it would get like auto rifle accuracy and fire rate and damage. It was so freaking busted. The Ripper is what it was called, wasn't it? I think the HUD, that wasn't the sights on it, weren't they like green instead of red? My gosh, that gun was it was absolutely disgusting. It was absolutely busted. First look at Modern Warfare. See the gameplay demo of the campaign tomorrow during Summer Game Fest. So tomorrow on Reforge Gaming, we will be able to get a look at the first gameplay demo of the campaign tomorrow during Summer Game Fest. They have tweeted it. So there will be Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 gameplay tomorrow on Summer Game Fest. Officially tweeted just a few moments ago. That was tweeted an hour ago, actually. Sorry, an hour ago. The gun was in Call of Duty Ghosts, which I love, by the way. Yeah, Call of Duty Ghosts is where we got into, like, the Clan Wars. There were so many cheaters in Clan Wars, though. It just kind of got ruined by people that were clearly boosting. They'd get their teammates to join, and then they'd beat their teammates would back out, and they'd get wins at, like, record-breaking speed. There's a video on that tweet. Is it a video worth looking at? That's the video from... Okay, that's literally just the video from the trailer, creature. There's a video on that tweet. Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. It's literally the same video that we watched. They just shrunk it down and put it into a Twitter video. We've seen all that. We've literally watched that. It's the same thing. Yeah, we watched that. Clan Wars boosters ruined it. Yeah, they totally did. They totally did. We literally would be, we would play legitimate and we would blast. I said no. Oh, I thought you were saying no to me. There's a video on that tweet. No. What? I don't understand what you meant. Gameplay tomorrow? Yeah. The gameplay will be tomorrow. It will be. Is survival also coming back? I have no idea. None of that's been confirmed. We will probably get a lot more details in the forthcoming days. Lots of announcements, lots of things going on. Oh, we already saw that video. No, not worth looking at. Oh, I thought you said there's a video on the tweet, and I said, oh, we've already seen that, and then you said no. I thought that's what I thought. I thought you were responding to what I said when you said no. That's what I thought was going on. So I particularly enjoyed the reveal. I thought it was good. I thought it was, you know, exciting. I thought it was everything I was kind of hoping to see in the game. And, you know, more and more my hope for Call of Duty is just that it's good. I just want it to be good. That's what they need to do, is they need to shed the old engine, shed the old stuff, and just make a very, very good Call of Duty. Like, that's all we, you know, that's all we need. You know what I mean? As someone who's around when this went down, there's artists flying left and right. I want to say welcome back, man. It's so good to see you past few days. Just slaying. No one doesn't like you. I hope they're looking and saying, crap, we failed. I hope they stew at night. Keep being you. It's inspiring. Well, thank you for saying that. Somebody sent me a very, very nice keep being you. Booted into this. I appreciate that. Somebody sent me a very nice DM on Twitter. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mr. Reveal, because of lunchtime, how was it? Chris, it was a Modern Warfare 2 reveal. It was a campaign trailer. I thought it looked great. The best thing that I think stands out in the video is the night vision. The in-engine, it's all in-engine, and I think that the in-engine night vision is spectacular. And the other thing to notice is at the very, very end of the trailer, there's like 10 studios listed. So I don't know. I think that they're going to crush it. That's my inclination. That's my feel. With that many studios working on it. Now I know the pros have done this before, but the pros are saying that it's going to be amazing. You know, the pros are already praising it. And, you know, to a certain extent, you got to take that with a grain of salt. The pros praise the Call of Duty Vanguard beta. And so you have to take some of that with a grain of salt, but the pros did get hands-on with it, and they are saying that it's really, really good. So, they improved the NVE from 2019. Now, I made mention of that, Chris, because I got to interview the lead guy main stage at E3 2019 when they were talking Modern Warfare, and that was one of his big points that he zeroed in on, was they wanted it to be real. They wanted the night vision to be real. And so I don't honestly know if they've gone up from there, but I thought it looked absolutely incredible. I thought it looked realistic. It looked like real life to me. That's when it got a little like, oh my gosh, it kind of got serious for me. Graphical fidelity on the characters and the models and the textures and stuff, I thought looked very, very good. I did. So I think they're going to absolutely nail it. A good campaign will make me happy. I want the multiplayer to obviously be incredible and the pro scene to get what they want. Less pros and more just creators, in my opinion. To my knowledge, actual pro COD players didn't like 2019 Modern Warfare because of how campy the maps made it. Really? Yo, Chris, gifting 5 memberships over here. We are getting really close to 200 members on radio. This is our scrappy little late in the day after party channel. So thank you. Once we hit 200 members, we will start doing a Madam segment every Monday. So thank you. Casey, Warpath, Moody, Human Type Person, and R7 all got a gifted membership over here. We do a small amount of member perks on this channel. The main channel that we do all the member stuff on is gaming. But over here, we are going to launch that segment on Mondays for you guys as like a fun way to kick off the week for members with Madam. Did they give a release date? October 28th. Yeah, we kind of glossed over that and didn't really talk about that. I think the release date was already kind of out in circulation, wasn't it? That it was going to be October 28th. I can allow gifts on the mobile app. Hey, that's a good update. According to Charlie Intel, Activision tweeted out an hour ago stating that Warzone 2 will have Modern Warfare 2 new mechanic systems and inventories will reset. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. They are going to do that. It's going to be a full reset for Warzone 2. Yes. The content creator signal boost, what the pros are saying, Call of Duty arena shooter style of gameplay should be keyed on what pros would want. Yeah, I think that's the challenge. If you want to have a really, really good arena shooter, I do think you need to listen to the pros. Do you know what I'm saying? I think you can listen to the pros to a fault, but I also think if you really, really want to have an excellently designed... if you want to have an excellently designed arena shooter... I really, really do. I think you need to listen to the pros. I don't think you can build from the bottom. I think you have to build from the top. Personally. And I know lots of people disagree with that, but that's what I think. I think the dilemma is if you don't, you're really going to risk it not being a sharp and polished arena shooter. And because if you want that, I think you got to listen to the pros. That's why Valorant and CSGO are good. Yeah, you got to build from the top. You have to lead from the top, lead from the front. You can't build from the bottom for these games. Now, you want to talk about Battle Royale or Warzone or Fortnite. Okay, those are completely different environments. But you get into a tight arena shooter, you got to listen to the pros. New 80s tee. Yeah, this is from their Star Wars collection. You can always make sure to use code LONO over there if you get a shirt from 80stees.com. So, well, that's the first 30 minutes of the show on Call of Duty. Let's move on. We've got more stories to talk about, and this one is coming from Games Radar. God of War Ragnarok gets new placeholder release date, and fans are worried about a delay. I'm not. I know what this means. I'm not concerned. The back end of the PlayStation Network is showing a December 31st release date. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Does that mean next year? No, it doesn't. Let's read what it has to say here. God of War Ragnarok got a new placeholder release date, and fans are worried this means the game has been delayed. As highlighted in a thread on Reset Era, a tweet from the account PlayStation Size, which is known for sharing PSN database updates, revealed that God of War Ragnarok has changed from having a September 30th placeholder date release to December 31st. This has led many fans to believe that the highly anticipated sequel will be delayed to the end of 2022. Okay? Now, my personal take is that they did this because they're getting ready to update the game's release date. It's hard to definitely prove a negative, but someone who would know firsthand just told me they haven't heard anything about a slip to 2023, as did someone else who might know secondhand, said Jason Schreier. So Schreier is saying there's nothing about it slipping to 2023. He's usually got locked in information. I believe they have done this because they're getting ready to update the release date. I do believe it's getting pushed back from September 30th. I do believe that. I believe it's going to get an October or a November release date. But that's why this has happened. That's my theory. It's important to keep in mind that neither PlayStation nor developer Santa Monica Studio have announced an official release date other than the 2022 window of God of War Ragnarok yet. This means it's been confirmed that it was ever supposed to launch in September. Oh, it's not been confirmed. This means it's not been confirmed it was ever supposed to launch in September or has been delayed at all. Right, that was like an internal placeholder, right? The API expert says API changes and says the API change means nothing. Let's run a delay story. Right, that's right. So, we can't blame fans for thinking the worst, though. The last few years have given us a number of game delays, with some of the more recent ones being Bethesda's Starfield and Redfall, Square Enix's Forspoken, and The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. Still a delay? That's not a delay. You cannot say that it's delayed if they didn't announce a delay. You cannot say it's a delay if they didn't have a launch date. If there is inside information or leaks or like an internal placeholder that gets leaked to us, and then they end up saying, oh, no, September 30th. No, it's going to be October 15th. That's not a delay. You can't claim that because they never came out and said, oh, here's the release date. The only delay that was announced was the one that they announced last year. That's the only delay that has happened. If internal things get leaked or internal placeholders get leaked by the press, and then that doesn't end up being the date, you can't come back and say that's a delay. That's a ludicrous claim. Come on. It was also probably not a coincidence that PlayStation is yet to announce the release of God of War Ragnarok when we're already halfway through 2022. We have, however, seen a number of hints recently, which could mean we're closer to launch than we realize. Just a few days ago, it was spotted that God of War Ragnarok has been rated by Korea's Game Rating and Administration Committee, meaning the game must be somewhat near to being completely finished. We also noticed some God of War Ragnarok merch set to launch this summer, which would be weird if we weren't due the game at least sometime soon. Excuses is all I hear? There's no excuses. A release date that is never announced, that's not a release date. if people use APIs or 4chan or Reddit to say, oh, there's a September 30th release date for God of War, and Santa Monica never says anything, and Sony never says anything, and the game ends up landing in October, that's not a delay. You cannot use leaks, rumors, 4chan, Reddit. You can't use placeholder dates that have never been officially announced as release dates. So anytime there's a placeholder date of December 31st and it ends up coming out before that, did they bump up the release date? No. The placeholder date is a common thing in the gaming world. We've seen it so many times. December 31st of, 2023, placeholder date, and then it ends up launching in like September or October. Nobody would come out and say, yeah, they bumped up the release date. Nobody would say that because that's stupid. It's not an official release date. It's not an official announcement. It's a placeholder. So this is a non-story. The story is, okay, the story is that they're getting ready to announce the release date tomorrow, as I've always said they're going to do. And when they announce that release date, it's going to be this year. And that's why they went into the back end and made this update. That's all. That's all. Now, I don't think it's going to land late December or anything like that. I think it's going to get an October or November release date. That's my prediction for God of War Ragnarok release date. If I tell you I'll be somewhere at 2 and I get there at 3, I'm late. If you assume I'll be somewhere at 2 and I get there at 3, you're just silly and I'm on time. Until we see a trailer with a release date, you can't argue it was delayed. You can speculate, but speculate from a place of stupidity. Well, I don't think it's speculating from a place of stupidity. There were toys slated for September. There was a September 30th, placeholder. There's nothing wrong with people saying, oh, it's going to launch around that time. But to call this a delay is silly because they never came out and said that this is the release date of God of War Ragnarok. It was never stated. So until there's an official release date. That was like when stuff would leak in Destiny and people would be like, oh man, they removed content. They removed an exotic. And it's like, no, it was a data mine. It was a leak. It wasn't anything officially announced. September 30th is a placeholder because it's the last day of the quarter. That's how APIs work. Thank you. Like, it was literally a placeholder date. So it sounds to me like it's been bumped out of that quarter. So they said, oh, we're going to aim for third quarter. It gets a placeholder. It gets bumped out of that quarter. It's been bumped into fourth quarter. So it's got the fourth quarter placeholder. That's all it is. Placeholder, LOL. Willie, come on. You don't be that way. There's no reason to be that way. Don't be incredulous. Placeholders are one of the most common things that we report on and cover in the gaming world. It happens all of the time. Placeholders are a thing. It happens all of the time. December 31st is the most common placeholder that we always see because what they're saying is, sometime in that year, we're going to release. It happens all the time. Yeah, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has currently, right now, a placeholder of December 31st of 2023. It has a placeholder in marketplaces. So any API database, any API combing program that sweeps over all those marketplaces is going to say the current placeholder date for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 is December the 31st of 2023. It is a common thing. There's nothing awkward, weird, or silly about this. No one's on copium. I'm telling you, they just confirmed to somebody somewhere the release date of Ragnarok, and it's fourth quarter this year. That's why that date placeholder got updated. Write it down, all right? Write it down. I can't wait to get a ton of money from people when I'm playing that dadgum game this year. God of War Ragnarok release date leak looks like a placeholder. Yeah, this always happens. Last year, it was a leak. They combed over the database. API spits out a date of September 30th. Oh, that's the final date of the third quarter. They're aiming at third quarter, right? Now it's going to update to the 31st. I can't take it from you, ponies. What's difficult? Is it difficult to type out sentences and formulate an argument as I continually point to industry standards with placeholders? Is that what you can't take? because that's all I'm pointing to. I literally pointed to a Nintendo game with a placeholder date. I've been covering video games for almost a decade. This is an incredibly common practice. If you're not aware of the practice, Willie, that's on you. You're acting on bad information or bad presumptions if you didn't realize this was a thing, right? It's a common practice. This is not a delay. Now, we'd all be in a panic. We'd all be in a panic if it was December 31st of next year. Yes, that would be cause for panic and be like, oh no, it got bumped to next year. I love how it shifted from God of War is 2023 and now it's a delay. Yeah, you gotta grab onto something. You gotta grab onto something. After you spend months telling me the game's gonna get pushed into next year when it doesn't happen, a simple API shift, that's a delay, you know? Come on. Admitting you're wrong is a lot more liberating than clutching to false narratives. It's so much more liberating to be like, we got it wrong. We got that one wrong. Okay, let's take a look at the next story here. This is coming from PC Gamer. Halo Infinite Campaign Co-op will get a public test in July. Okay, Halo Infinite Campaign Co-op is going to get a public test in July. The long-awaited feature is still expected to launch in August. So that's their slate. Let's look at what they have to say. Halo Infinite is expected to receive a big cooperative play update in August, which will let you roam the open world with a fellow Master Chief. If you're part of the Halo Insider program or join it ASAP, you may be able to play co-op a whole month earlier because 343 Industries has announced a test flight for July. I'm in that program, so hopefully we get to test it out. You can learn how to join the Halo Insider program here. Though, do keep in mind that being part of the program doesn't guarantee you a part of the co-op flight. You'll be considered for it. Still, it's free, so you're only having to contend with the drudgery of entering details into a form. A Halo Infinite roadmap release in April, pointing to a late August release for cooperative play, and so far, 343 Industries hasn't indicated any disruption to that timeline. Online co-op will roll out first, while split-screen co-op will follow later in the year. Another eagerly anticipated addition is Halo's Forge mode, which is still on track to enter open beta in September. Season 2 of Halo Infinite kicked off in early May, and as is so often the case with live service games, the launch was a little bumpy. That's an understatement. It follows a fairly turbulent reception for the competitive side of Halo Infinite since its initial launch last October. After an enthusiastic uptake from starved Halo fans, the first season ended up being a bit of an awkward mess, according to Natalie. Still, if you're like me and would prefer to enjoy some PvE action with friends rather than getting relentlessly slaughtered in PvP, the arrival of co-op can't come soon enough. So, Halo Infinite co-op, at the earliest, we're going to get glimpses of it in July from that flight, if that is indeed something that's allowed to be streamed, recorded, and put out into the view of the public, with an aim at it arriving for everybody else in August. So, I mean, I've continued to say that I'm rooting for Halo because I do think Halo could be good. It could be significantly better than it is. That's kind of an understatement. I mean, we're kind of making understatements about the game right now, aren't we? I think they have a framework that they can build upon. I think they can build upon it. Report spam. Get the frick out of here. The flight was a little bumpy. Oh, some choppy air. No, they ran into a mountain. Yeah, I mean, I really, really want the game to do well. I want the game to flourish and to be excellent. I enjoyed playing it that first month with you guys. We did those Friday night community game nights with Halo Infinite, and it was fun. We had a good time. The flight's going to be under NDA. Most of them are, says Akuta Papa. How many players online co-op? 2 or 4? I'm fairly certain it will be 2. Have they said? Does it say in here? It doesn't say, does it? You'll be able to play co-op a whole month earlier. Online co-op will roll out first. I thought it was just two players, is it not? They're missing a wing and the pilot's on the sauce. Paul says it will not be under NDA, no way. Yeah, the previous test flights were not under any kind of NDA. They didn't even take off, says Wheeze. I'm super confused about why they need a flight for a staple of the game's core. It suggests that there's more than just a delay with it. Something went wrong. I'll tell you what went wrong. They weren't going to do it. That's what. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Oh, we did open world. So that's we did open world and better graphics. So that settles the matter. We don't need to do anything else. Well, you're not going to do co-op? Well, no, it's not going to work very well. Like, look at the way they built the campaign. You couldn't replay missions. It wasn't built for co-op. I think they built this game without that in mind. I think they're adding it as an afterthought. I think Ant nailed it. Half of it's missing, and the people in charge don't seem to know what's happening. Yeah, it's... I don't know. Saying that's an understatement is an understatement. Would have much preferred if the host... was Master Chief and the other person was their multiplayer Spartan. Yeah, are you going to run around as just two Spartans? We kind of said that was going to happen, right? That they were going to start making you play as your Spartan when you went out on missions. The last couple flights were open beta-like tests. I've been in the program since it released and 95% of the flights are NDA'd. I mean, Paul's saying something different than Akuta Papa, but Akuta Papa is saying that he's been in the flight since it released and 95% of the flights are under NDA. They should charge $30 for co-op. Go with the current trend, especially since Xbox is buying Blizzard. Oh, come on. Come on. There's no reason to be mean. Yeah, life is pay to win. We streamed a flight live. Halo Master Chief on PC never had NDAs. Yeah, I don't know what kind of flights they've been doing on Halo Infinite, but we streamed ours. We did it two different times. We got in and streamed it. Those early betas. It's an afterthought because this is a new Halo going forward. I'm just hearing excuses. Come on. You deserve that one, Willie. You deserve that one, Willie. Listen, I'm telling you, the idea that they're going to do like this, it's new and it's open world and it's a new Halo. It's like, okay, I don't have any problem with that. You know, I don't have any problem with that, but co-op? Come on, co-op? Seriously? That doesn't seem like something that you would leave out, right? When you think of it this way, if you're going to leave things behind, if you're going to leave features behind, wouldn't you leave behind features that are, you know, dated or something? Like load times or, you know, like the inventory problems in Diablo 2 that we got so frustrated by. Isn't that the stuff that you'd leave behind? You don't leave behind co-op. No one's like, yeah, man, the game's really moving forward. How's that? Well, they got rid of co-op. What? That doesn't sound... That sounds like a regression. That doesn't... What do you mean? Isn't co-op a pretty beloved feature? Isn't it considered sort of a staple? Imagine if they did that in Borderlands. Yeah, man. Borderlands really evolving. This is a new era for Borderlands. Yeah, what'd they do? Well, first off, they got rid of co-op. Well, why would they do that? What? How does that help the game flourish and grow? You're not cutting dead weight at that point. You're just getting rid of a good feature. Paul has a screenshot right here. It says no NDA for the flight. Stream away. Hey, Battlefield 2042 has no scoreboard. Yeah. I mean, that's what I want to see. That's the iteration and innovation I want to see. Just gut core mechanics. Just get rid of them. You know, sprinting? Who needs that? Aiming? Shooting? No. You're just a blob. and you roll around, sort of. We've completely taken all of the volition of the player out of the game. Any base level feature had to be cut because we're innovating, man. We're evolving. Yeah, Halo's going turn-based. Like, I could totally see that with certain things being like, we want Halo to evolve into a new era. That's, you know what? That's the defense I would use for Battle Royale. Like, I would use that for Battle Royale. Be like, this is us evolving. We're adding an entirely new concept that seems foreign to the Halo universe, right? We're going to add, it's Morbin time. I don't get the pure mindless defense of Xbox treatment of Halo Infinite from fanboys. I don't see anybody doing that, Jeff. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Both of the flights, we had no NDA. That's why I put videos up. I've been in many, many others that they put you under NDA and they enforce it. Paul's unfortunately wrong. So apparently there's been a bunch that were under NDA. I think they're going to show Halo's BR mode on the 14th. It helps you grow as a solo player. You really need to dig deep and overcome the indefinite isolation. I'm sorry, the infinite isolation. Now, if they created a playlist that was similar to XCOM, it would be interesting, but it would take forever. Yeah, I don't think it would work. I don't think it would work all that well, you know. I don't think that would be. That's not the move, right? That's not the move. Halo Indefinite. Where is that game? Indefinite. Halo Indefinite. Might be the better game. Halo XCOM game unknown. Yeah. Halo XCOM, game not found. I mean, listen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on Halo. I really want them to turn things around. I do. I want them to turn things around. I really, really think it could be good. It could be good. I think they have a lot of the core pieces that are needed, and I think it's good when Halo is good. You know? It's good for Halo. Yeah, Tatanka. Yeah, Tatanka could help. I played XCOM with mods. It turned your soldiers into Spartans. It was entertaining. Could be good. Well, let's shift to some good stuff here. This one's coming from Game Informer. Evil West. This game looks really, really sick. We got two games with gameplay and release dates that are around the corner. Evil West gets September release date in its new vampire-infested trailer. No, can't go up one. Flying Wild Hogs, Evil West, not to be confused with Weird West from earlier this year, finally has a release date and it's just a few months away. More specifically, Wild Hog and publisher Focus Entertainment will release Evil West on September the 20th. This news comes by way of a fancy new release date reveal trailer that you can watch below. It's worth watching too because it looks great, complete with plenty of turn-of-the-century action, gore, western antics, oh, and monstrous vampires. You can't forget those. There's only a minute here, so let's take a gander. It won't let me go full screen. It's like I can click there, but nothing's happening. Yeah, I can't click. What a great video player. All right, well, we'll just let it run like that. Battle of the Forces of Darkness. So there you go. Third person. Kind of reminds me of that one game people told me to play that had like over-the-shoulder shooting and melee combat. There you go. Looks great, doesn't it? Hopefully you guys are probably having to like zoom in with your fingers or squint. I don't know. I think it looks dope. I think it looks really fun. Evil West. Quote, jump right into the frantic, gory carnage in a vampire-infested Wild West as the trailer introduces gunslinger Rentier on his mission to eradicate the supernatural terror, a press release reads. Quote, as the star agent in his father's undercover monster hunting organization, his fight is also personal war against the nightmarish leading figures into the vampire world. Take on Jesse's role as the final line between humanity and the vampire threat. Rise up to become a Wild West superhero to save the United States. That's the best part of the line. To save the United States. Evil West will feature third-person action gameplay with an arsenal of guns and other weapons. It hits PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S. Surprisingly enough, it's hitting PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on September the 20th. There you go. Get some good shots here. Some good shots here. I want to zoom in on a couple of these. I'm just going to flip through first. Okay. Can we do this? And so, there we go. I think this looks great. I think this looks like really, really fun. BS, Silver Against Werewolves, calling non-indies indies. Oh, shut up, Eugene. Look at that big slug thing. There we go. Is that Daniel Radcliffe? That looks like the girl from Death Stranding. Looks like Mama or whatever they call her. Don't they call her that? You need to play this game, do it for America. I mean, I got to fight that guy right there for America. I love the art style so much, man. I want to play that game. Right around the corner. Hopefully it doesn't get delayed. A nice September 20th release date. I love hearing about a game and having gameplay shown and then release date right around the corner. You know, that's how you do it. I've not heard anything about that game until right now. I heard anything about Evil West until right now. I hear about it. I see gameplay. I say, looks dope. And then the release date is 3 months away. You know what I mean? Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. It's like a steampunky vampire western. What a combination. Does this game take place in the same universe as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter? I don't know. Red Dead mixed with fantasy aspect seems like a dope idea. Lost Ark new Legion raid this month. Looking forward to that. I wish I could have played that a ton. You know what I mean? Surprised we haven't seen more games released like Apex Legends did. Right? You know? Red Dead rip failed comment. Homie, I filled it in for you. I knew what you were saying. I'm an expert at reading mistyped comments. You know? I may not be good at reading, or maybe I may not like reading in video games, but I've acquired a certain set of skills. And one of those skills is that I can read a mistyped comment and figure out what it is that you were trying to say. I totally can. If you're just tuning in, we covered the Modern Warfare 2 reveal. I did my recap at the beginning of this. We covered a God of War Ragnarok release date update. People are thinking it's going to get delayed. It's just going to land fourth quarter. People are, you know, creating a lot of hullabaloo over nothing. Then we looked at Halo Infinite getting co-op. The July flight will go out and you might be able to see people playing it. Maybe me. Then we just looked at Evil West. Evil West, a wild, wild west vampire, crazy cool combat game. It looks actually pretty, pretty cool. They just released the gameplay trailer with a release date of September. So that to me is a pretty promising release date, seeing as how they just finally talked about the game, showed the game. I've not seen anything about it until now. So, indeed, I'm always mistyping stuff, and Lono reads it right all the time. It's something to behold. I don't even try anymore. I know you'll figure out what I was trying to say. That's right. No, I'm going to ignore the Black Adam trailer, Suede. Once I know I'm going to watch a movie or a show, I stop watching the trailers. So, it leaves more movie. It leaves more show to be enjoyed. I watched no trailers for the last couple of movies and shows that I've enjoyed. I just don't pay any attention to them. So, it's a personal choice, you know? You guys, You do you. You do you, boo-boo. But I just, yeah, I don't do anymore, you know? He still has a hard time when I mess it up. Yeah, yeah. It's tough sometimes when you type like a five-year-old with a blindfold on. Trailers show way too much nowadays. Yeah, I started doing that now. I enjoy movies way more. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 I wish I did something. I wish I did watch something for Morbius. Yeah. Yeah. Morbin time, baby. Morbin time. We got another game. We got another game that just unveiled itself with a September release date as well. Deliver Us Mars. Game Informer bringing us this report. Deliver Us Mars lifts off in September. A new gameplay trailer for Deliver Us Mars, the sequel to Deliver Us the Moon, has taken off. The video provides looks at how players will traverse and survive the Red Planet, as well as a launch date that they'll be able to do so. Deliver Us Mars is coming September the 27th. The same spacefaring adventure stars Kathy Johansson, an astronaut who enlists on a mission to Mars to locate stolen colonization vessels in search of a way to restore a dying Earth. She's also chasing a mysterious signal that may be linked to her long-lost father. Can't go full screen. That is just the most disappointing. It says exit full screen. Oh, wait, maybe it's this. Is it because I'm full screen? I don't get it. Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah, can't go full screen. Sorry, guys. Mm-mm. Okay. Like the first game, players will split time between solving environmental puzzles as well as platforming. The video shows Kathy scaling cliffs and other structures with her climbing axe, and the game also features scuba diving and zero-gravity exploration. In addition to trekking across Mars' dusty terrain, players will explore icy landscapes as well as interiors of ruined vessels and abandoned colonies. Deliver Us Mars will be available on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, surprisingly, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and PC for $29.99. Publisher Frontier says to expect more information on the game at the PC Gaming Show on June 12th. We will be covering the PC Gaming Show over on Reforged Gaming, so make sure you're subscribed there. Make sure you guys are subscribed to that channel as well. We will be covering all the festivities. Covering all of the festivities over there on the Summer Game Fest thing. So we'll get more look at this one. This one again got a September 27th launch date. So another game just sort of quickly announced, showcased, and a September release date. So that is really, really exciting to see. Makes for an exciting fourth quarter this year. You know, a lot of gaming news coming out, lots of things going on, and we are pleased to have so much support from you guys. If you could do me a favor and smash that like button, this has been a really good show so far. And if you hit that like button, it helps out the video, especially if we can hit a 200 like milestone. Guarantee you there's 50 people here that can smash that like button to show us some love. And we do have multiple channels. We have multiple channels. So let me give you a brief glimpse into everything that you can enjoy on the various channels that we have. Let me just give you a quick little glimpse here. So Reforge Gaming is where we spend most of our time during the morning. And you can see here the three shows that you may have missed. We did an Xbox announcement leak. Game demos are apparently coming to Game Pass. We looked at new gameplay from Sonic Frontiers, and then we watched the Call of Duty Modern Warfare worldwide reveal. 5,000 views. That thing has so many views, the public view count doesn't even look right. It's so high in the background. So that is our main channel. We go there live every day. So much content over there. If you're a member, you can always scroll down here to the members only playlist. My wife played Elden Ring. It's right there. You can see it. Thursday Throwdown. Every Thursday, there's an AMA session. Usually Friday nights are Game Night with Madam. Tier 2 members submit these games. We did Midnight, Ghost Hunt, The Show. We did Worms. It was a really, really great time. Keep scrolling down, and we have these other channels as well. We have Reforged First Look, which got a great first look today of the Cycle Frontier. I'm actually going to send you guys there at the end of this stream. It also got Remote Life, Cool Bullet Hell, Silt, and Diablo. So that's a great channel if you're looking for really quick first looks at games. And then there's Reforge Updates. These are quick 4-minute updates that we upload that don't hit this channel and they don't hit Reforge Gaming. So lots of channels for you to consume the type of content that you enjoy. If you enjoy these live shows, make sure you're subscribed to radio as well as gaming. Because as we continue to branch out and cover things, we have almost, to a certain degree, we have almost too many things to cover. So that's why we have to kind of build around two different live environments. So we do multiple shows on gaming and then we end up over here. It's about to touch 20K. Gee, mini Christmas. Yeah, Lono, play Evil West as an evil version of Hillbilly Jack. Oh, that could be fun. That could be fun. Chat's going wild. Yeah, I'm doing my best to ignore it. I was just trying to put on a show. We had a really, really stellar day today. And, I don't know. I don't know what the, exact issue is. But... I can't detract. This show is too short for me to be get down in the muck and the mire and babysit. So this show is a little bit too short for that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put a link in chat. If you guys want to check out this Cycle game, it's free to play. It launched today on Steam. I think it looks pretty dope. We're also going to redirect you over there. Thanks for a stellar day. Thank you for supporting all the different channels. Make sure you're subscribed to Reforge Gaming. Make sure you're in the Discord. Tons of Summer Game Fest coverage coming tomorrow. It's going to be a big one. It's really going to be big. So make sure you're there. Excited, thrilled. Today was just the start, guys. We are climbing the new heights, and you got us there. All right. Thanks for the support, the love. Enjoy the new gameplay footage of the Cycle. Thanks for watching another great episode of Reforge Radio.